My brother said I might talk a little bit about the Philippines. Mayo Boontog, good morning. And that's as close as we're going to get to the Philippines. I want to begin with a scripture reading. Turning to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And reading verses 10 through 16. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parable, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. I chose that for an opening scripture. Christ speaking about how valuable parables are to you and I, because it's given to us to know the parables, to seek his wisdom, to know the mysteries of God, bit by bit, piece by piece, until it is promised in the Book of Mormon, we may know them in full. We're not there yet. With that in mind, I'm not going to speak about parables. I'm going to use a fairy tale, a children's story. Some of you may not approve of all children's story. Some of you may even find wrong in the storytelling and the understanding. But this one spoke to me and what I want to bring to you. A wise man, Henry Ford, said, Chop your own wood, and it will warm you twice. Now, in this story that we'll take a look at, it talks about being able to be warmed twice with a physical effort towards an end goal, a desired purpose in life. And we skipped a blank page I had. I don't know why. That was the one I desired to come up and to begin talking about. With that blank page, I want to reflect on a couple of people that have made a difference in my life from the very beginning to who I am today. Not that I am important, but I have a role within the church, as do each of you that are members of the Church of Christ. Buzz Brickhouse was instrumental in bringing me up front to where I am today. At the East Local, I was a member just like you, found refuge in the pew, and listened to the teaching, the preaching, and began to understand more fully what's contained in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Buzz asked me to teach the adult class to study the Book of Mormon. And I was not a minister. I was not a member all that long. I didn't have the expertise, the understanding. And I was forced to do what many of us dislike to do. If you want to learn, you have to study. And you have to pray about it for that greater understanding. And I learned a lot about the Book of Mormon. Hopefully we all did in those classes. The other person that I learned a great deal about was a man I traveled quite a bit with to the Philippines, Frank Phan. And Frank was a good teacher. He would sit back and observe, and he would make recommendations that weren't orders, but they were encouragements to move it out the right way. And more than once, he, not accused, but reminded me that I was happy being fat, dumb, and happy. Not fat physically, although I've grown into that role, but fat comforting in what I knew, what I understood. I didn't need much more. Dumb in that I could always put more effort into the work. And I can do that today. We all can. And I was happy with what I was doing. But that's not what the Lord asked of you and I. Not to be complacent in what we're called out of and into in the kingdom of God. It is a continued growth with a purpose in the end. So this brings me up to the children's story that I want to talk about. The three pigs and the big bad wolf. And how that applies to us. And as I began to look at that, it fit perfectly what I want to talk about, what I've already shared with you about my walk so far in the Church of Christ. It points out the right way that we are to walk in this world within the kingdom of God. And it points out the false economy that a great many of us fall prey to in this world. Because there is but one way to life eternal. But there are multiple temptations and choices that would drag us down and would hold us back. So I want to begin looking at this story. And it's about the three pigs and the wolf, or in many cases, wolves. There's more than one temptation out there. And that means there's more than one sin to partake of if we fall prey. 1 Nephi 4:52. For the day should come that they must be judged of their works, yea, even the works which were done by the temporal body in their days of probation. And so we're going to take a look at the three pigs, see what kind of work they performed, to what end in the world, for what purpose in life, and how they fared. We've been through conference, preaching sessions, Sacrament Sunday, ministers' conference. We've lost a dear brother, and we each in our turn have suffered a loss from that. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to look back and remember some of the things that our brother accomplished in this life. And I'm not holding him up for perfection. He always strove to be better in Christ, as should we all. So you and I, through faith and repentance and the baptisms, water and by fire, produce or create a child of Christ. But sin and the ease of choices begin to make way for sin to enter in if we were weakened, distracted by life. And it's there. Because I said, I am not perfect. I can't speak for you, but you and I stand before God to be judged one day for what we have chosen. So I'm going to look at nine talking points for life that I want to address. I have trouble with computers. I marvel at our brother back there in the recorder room that takes care of our inadequacies, and he does a marvelous job. So these nine talking points for life, remember what Henry Ford said, as you chop your wood physically in this life, is towards an end that will warm you at the end of life. So wood, or in the Word of God, a dedicated member is warmed today towards an end, which is promised in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that end is in, our service says, a servant or a handmaiden. And once we are judged of our works, whether we hear that welcome invitation to enter in, well done, into life eternal. So the first point that I'd like to talk about is hard work pays off. Proverbs 12, verse 11, he that tilleth his land, not simply to till the land and let it lie, let it go fallow. That's not what I'm saying. To till it towards a purpose, shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Those are the distractions in life. You and I have counted and known distractions and will to the day that we lay it down in Christ. They're ever present. Mosiah 11, verse 146. And it came to pass that Alma did regulate all the affairs of the church. Affairs regulated within the church are never a pleasant experience, but they're towards an end to restore that brother, that sister, back into the good graces of God, and to restore them to the body with the strength that they add by their presence, their hope, their spirit, combined with you and ours before the Lord Jesus Christ. Mosiah 11, 153. And there was a strict command throughout all the churches that there should be no persecutions among them, that there should be an equality among all men, that they should let no pride nor haughtiness disturb their peace, that every man should esteem his neighbor as himself, thinking upon our neighbor as ourself, regarding them in the same way we look at ourselves, realistically before God. Laboring with their own hands for their support, laboring not only for ours, but for theirs as called upon. We have a great many volunteers within this church that we don't take time enough to recognize what they do. But we do appreciate each and every toil, work that you perform. And it's not easy to set aside that time, that energy, those monies towards that purpose. But the Lord places us together for a reason. Yea, and all their priests and teachers should labor with their own hands for their support in all cases, save it were sickness or in much want. And doing these things, they did abound in the grace of God. If we follow the guidance, the direction, the invitation of Jesus Christ through his word and through the spirit that resides within us, we are blessed almost immediately by the grace of God. It's there for you, you and myself combined before him. And there began to be much peace again in the land. And the people began to be very numerous and began to scatter abroad upon the face of the earth. And it goes on to say, to the north, the south, the east, the west. And I want you to think about the way this Church of Christ has expanded. Not that we directed, but the Lord has placed within our path choices to serve and to travel and to plant seeds throughout this world. It's extra effort now for a reward in eternity. But for now, as we follow Christ and his grace is extended, every one of you is to know joy like you've never known before. And it's that peace of God that fills you and gives you purpose in this life, not just to support our families and look to their well-being and plan for a future. That's a part of life. But it's yet a preparation for life eternal. Number two. Shortcuts can cost you a lot. Matthew 17, verse 16. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And we know this is a father that it describes his son as a lunatic that could not control himself, that was beside himself, that was possessed with something that was beyond what their medicine could cure or even begin to look at. But this man had heard the message of Christ. He went to the disciples, and they could not cure him. They could not administer, as we witness today, asking the Lord to extend his healing power and cleanse and make right and bring things together. We do that in faith. They could not muster that. What did Christ say? He said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? Now, perverse the way he used it is not the definition I know in this world today. Perverse means wayward. They did not have that focus that Christ required of them to facilitate that healing by the grace of God and his mighty power. Each of you that are ministry have experienced that in your service to God. Sometimes we know there is going to be a healing, or there is an expectation that it is soon to come. Sometimes we question our faith and our preparation. Christ told them, this kind of healing requires work. It requires prayer. It requires fasting and waiting upon the Spirit to declare the time. I felt it in the Philippines. And I felt his healing power. And it is marvelous. I shortchanged you. I've got another scripture there. Mosiah 1:106. And behold, all these things are done, that a righteous judgment might come upon the children of men. So this righteous judgment comes when we stand before that judgment bar. Turning to Mosiah, the first chapter, and verse 107. And behold also, his blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen by the transgression of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. Jesus Christ leaves not one dot without purpose, or one cross that is not accomplished. For behold, and also his blood atoneth for those sins. But woe, woe unto him who knoweth that he rebelleth against God. For salvation cometh to none such, except it be through repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord hath sent his holy prophets among all the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, nation, and tongue, that thereby whosoever should believe that Christ should come, the same might receive remission of their sins and rejoice with exceedingly great joy, even as though he had already come among them. Yea, the Lord God saw his people were a stiff-necked people, and he appointed unto them a law, even the law of Moses. Christ has been there since the very beginning, working with this chosen people to prepare them for life eternal. And he also sent his servants to reach out to the Gentiles. You and I are known as those Gentiles. Though we may have ties to the blood of Israel through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the same. And we have planted within his kingdom by his direction. Number three, as I looked at the three pigs and the preparation they made, that first pig built his house out of straw. The second pig built his house out of wood or sticks. And they became distracted with the world, what was around them. The ease of life is what they desired. They saw the project to build, and they took it so far. The first pig, short change from the get-go. The second pig, a little bit more thought. But with that straw or that wood, there is a constant maintenance that has to go on. The third pig took his time. He built out of the best building material available. He built towards a lasting commitment to the erection of that house and what would lie at the end of life. Ease of life, the joy of building, and the joy of occupying until he laid down his life. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Life is very confusing. And the house of Israel, scattered abroad by two powerful nations, different factions of that house, knew what it was to be driven forth within the world. Israel today knows what it's like to be driven and squeezed, subjected to hurt from outside by drones, and the harm they bring in vast quantities. They know what it's like. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. His thoughts are that of peace, though he allowed them to be subjected to the world, to hatred, to be molded and shaped, to one day come to know who you know as your Savior, to accept him for who he is. The Lord's thoughts were of peace and not of evil, to give them an expected end, a judgment to enter in to life eternal, the same one that we build towards. And the three pigs built in varying degrees towards that end also. Jacob 2, verse 23, but before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. Each of us seek riches, and rightly so. It costs money to live in this life with physical things, temporal needs. That's not a bad thing. But the Lord says, before you seek for riches, seek ye first for the kingdom of God. To put him first and foremost within your preparation, and as you seek those riches, you know what to do with them. Verse 24, and after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them, and ye will seek them for the intent to do good. I want to stop right there and thank each of you. Conference time, we planned a budget that comes out of the monies that you tithe back to God, out of the storehouse. And you make a commitment to let that money go for the right purpose, where his seeds are planted. And you also, prayerfully, I know you do, make a commitment to work this next week towards replacing. And those of you that give to the funds that we set aside for Africa, for India, for the Philippines, for Mexico, that's a special effort on your part. And God has bestowed a peace on you, I believe, for that giving. for that heart that wants to share in the building up of his house. The three pigs had a plan for the future, too. And riches were a distraction, unless they knew what kind of effort they would put into it. I mean, we should look to this life, but certainly the life to come in that preparation. Number four, plan for the worst and hope for the best. Proverbs 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. And in the battles of mankind, a horse was a powerful weapon. Mobility, strength, way to overcome your enemy. And in the preparation of that horse, that required feeding and giving it adequate water, keeping it in good health, making sure the tack and the reins, the saddle, were properly secured, maintained towards that day of battle. But it says, safety is of the Lord. Battles are fought, but if there is a peace, a safety to be obtained, we have to have God on our side. Not that he moves to suit us, but that we have moved to his purpose in life. Alma 21, verse 128 through 30. Now it came to pass that while Amalickiah had thus been obtaining power by fraud and deceit, and he was chosen the leader of the Lamanites, and the various factions that had deserted the Nephites to become as the Lamanites. And he used fraud and deceit, the promise of riches, power, authority. Moroni, the chosen leader of the Nephites, on the other hand, had been preparing the minds of the people to be faithful unto the Lord their God. Yea, he had been strengthening the armies of the Nephites and erecting small forts or places of resort, throwing up banks of earth round about to enclose his armies, and also building walls of stone to encircle them about, round about their cities, and the borders of their lands, yea, all round about the land. And in their weakest fortifications, he did place a greater number of men, and thus he did fortify and strengthen the land which was possessed by the Nephites. He used what God had blessed them with in their service to each other in the building up of this kingdom to fortify against a physical enemy coming. We have a great physical barrier within these United States, bounded by oceans primarily. We've enjoyed that protection for a long time, and I pray we always do. But yet there is a way to breach that, and man in his cunning uses those ways to bring their harm. Moroni prepared his people physically, and later on we'll find out how he prepared his people spiritually for this work. We have to be prepared primarily spiritually. And if there is to be a physical preparation, God will direct. But for now, the building up of his kingdom is first and foremost. Number five, know your limits, whether you're three pegs against a wolf or the wolves, or you're in this physical existence looking at the work of God. I think back to my baptism, what I felt like coming out of that water and after hands were laid upon. You too had similar feelings, I'm sure. I felt like I could do anything through Christ, which strengthens. And in that power, we can. Underneath his direction, his timetable, that is there. But Ether 5:28, I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. We each have special weaknesses within ourselves that without the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith laid before him, we cannot overcome. But in him, there is no sin that cannot be overcome in Christ. But it takes prayer, it takes fasting, it takes belief in his power. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. So, whether we look at three pigs versus a wolf, or whether we look at ourselves, we have limits. One without limit in Christ, under his direction. But we also have weaknesses that if we are to overcome, must be made strong in Christ. There are many wonderful medicines and mental abilities in this world that will help to change people. But ultimately, you and I look to our Savior for a healing. So that's their adversary. And as they looked at that, that was an irresistible force that would come against each pig in turn, in kind. And their house fell, except the third pig. They had limits to their power. But that wolf is also limited in what he is capable of. And as we look at our life, our service in the Lord Jesus Christ, our adversaries have weaknesses too. And Christ will point them out and allow us to view them not as an irresistible force, but an empty bag of wind in Christ. But know when to quit. None of us want to be a quitter. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Something bad happens to you spiritually or physically. First reaction is, I'd like to do this to them or that to them. You want vengeance. But this scripture says, it's not our place. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. To give place to wrath, which would overcome your physical being and your mental capabilities, we have to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. The The Lord says, I will repay, saith the Lord. I don't know when they'll get theirs, but we know at the end of this life, there is a judgment day, but it's also ours. We're judged of what we've done in the interim as well as they. 1 Corinthians 9:24. All runners run, but only one wins the prize. We're not in competition with each other. We run with each other. And whether you finish this race or whether you maintain your strength, whether you are continued in the right direction is my responsibility as well as yours toward me, towards the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:13, with the temptation, God will provide a way to bear it. Not that there's strength in Mike McGee. I know my weaknesses, and they're not a few. You know yours. But in those temptations, if we yield ourselves to the Spirit, to God's word, and really, truthfully believe in it, there'll be a way provided of Him, provided through one of His servants, one of His handmaidens, through the body of Christ. We help each other. Turning to Alma, the 20th chapter. Can I run over a little? Maybe. Alma 20, verse 70. And now, Zarahemla, I command you in the name of that all-powerful God, who has strengthened our arms, that we have gained power over you by our faith, by our religion, and by our rites of worship, and by our church, and by the sacred support which we owe to our wives and our children, by that liberty which binds us to our lands and country, yea, and also by the maintenance of the sacred word of God, to which we owe all our happiness. That is our strength. That's where it comes from. The same belief that Moroni expressed to his adversary is ours also. Promised of Christ. Verse 71, and by all that is most dear unto us, yea, this is not all. I command you by all the desires which ye have for life, that ye deliver up your weapons of war unto us, and we will seek not your blood, but we will spare your life, if you will go your way and come not again to war against us. And now if you do not this, behold, you are in our hands, and I will command my men that they may fall upon you and inflict the wounds of death in your bodies, that you may become extinct. I hope we're never in a position where we face our enemy like that, face to face. I know what Vietnam was like, and I had my fill. And then we will see who shall have power over this people. Yea, we will see who will be brought into bondage. Now it came to pass that when Zarahemla had heard these sayings, he came forth and delivered up his sword and his scimitar and his bow into the hands of Moroni, and said unto him, sounds like the battle is over. It sounds like good is triumphing over evil. And Zarahemla had it within his ability to surrender. All it took was an oath. Turning over to verse 78. And now when Zarahemla had made an end of speaking these words, Moroni returned the sword and the weapons of war. Zarahemla took time to say, "We will not suffer ourselves to take an oath unto you. We do not belong to your faith, and we do not believe that it is God that has delivered us into your hands." They blamed it on faulty equipment. They didn't have enough. They couldn't prevail because of their lack of preparation. Moroni returned the sword and the weapons of war which he had received unto Zarahemla, saying, "Behold, we will end the conflict. Now I cannot retain the words which I have spoken. Therefore, as the Lord liveth, ye shall not depart, except ye depart with an oath that ye will not return again against us to war. Now as ye are in our hands, we will spill your blood upon the ground, or ye will submit to the conditions to which I have proposed." Now when Moroni had said these words, Zarahemla retained his sword, and he was angry with Moroni, and he rushed forward that he might slay Moroni. He could not contain his anger. He was in the pride of man, an inflated ego of who he was, what he commanded, and what their immense power was capable of. The wolf, on the other hand, had blown two houses over. He could have cut his losses. He had that first house, that first pig. Some versions say they paid with their life. Some they ran to their third brother. The second brother, out of wood, lasted longer, but yet he fell. And the wolf could have stopped. The wolf could have stopped when he blew against that house of brick, but pride would not allow him to do so. Within you and I, we have no room for pride within us if we belong to Christ, if we are his children. Be patient with me. I only have about three more points. Work hard now and reap later. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. Do good. Later, there will come a time for a proper time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, that in everything there is a season, whether to plant, to till, to harvest, to plan for next year. A time to live, a time to die. A time to prepare, a time to receive. John 4, 38. Remembering also always that the field that we look to now within Yucatan, Mexico, India, Philippines, Africa, the varied nations there, was planted a long time ago through other people's hard work. It is not our work, but we are a part of it. Colossians 3, verse 23 through 4. Work with all your heart as to the Lord, giving him everything that we have and hope to be. If we turn to Ether 1, 107. I am the same that leadeth men to all good. He that will not believe my words will not believe me that I am. And he that will not believe me will not believe the Father who sent me. For behold, I am the Father. I am the light and the life and the truth of the world. Come unto me, O ye Gentile, and I will shew unto you the greater thing, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. Greater knowledge to those that believe. Come unto me, O ye house of Israel, and it shall be made manifest unto you how great things the Father hath laid up for you from the foundation of the world, and it hath not come unto you because of unbelief. That holds Israel back. A lack of recognition of who Christ is, the very person they have looked for since the beginning. It's him. Verse 111, behold, when ye shall rend that veil of unbelief which doth cause you to remain in your awful state of wickedness and hardness of heart and blindness of mind, then shall the great and marvelous things which have been hid up from the foundation of the world, it'll come forth. We have that in the Book of Mormon. The revelations that are found in the Bible mentioned in verse 113, and a continued plea to repent and to receive and to come to Christ through verse 117. Be philanthropic. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Those that are willing to give liberally to the need, you're going to receive back from the Lord because of your giving heart. His peace for one thing, but certainly his joy. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. God loves a cheerful giver, not one that begrudgingly gives or is forced to give, or the only choice is to give or to look foolish. God loves someone that does it with a giving heart. Moroni 7, verse 48 through 53 points out the importance of faith and hope and charity as we move towards this greater knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. The two lazy pigs took their falling short to their brother for help. He could have been a stingy brother. He could have left them on the outside with the wolf, but yet he received them, took them in. Number 9, be patient. And now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you to have patience, and that ye bear all manner of affliction, that ye do not revile against those who do cast you out because of your exceeding poverty, lest ye become sinners like unto them, but that ye have patience and bear with those afflictions with a firm hope that ye shall one day rest from all your affliction. In the Philippines, when we first went there, it was a people in abject poverty. They had nothing. And we went to the poorest regions of the poorest island, although second to the largest, in the Philippines. Through the planting of that seed, there's been a change in the way people live. the way they cooperate. It's no longer whether you're a member of that tribe or that barangay. If you're a member of the church, there is a hand to help you, a way, a choice to rise above it. And they live better, not that they have more money, but there is a greater degree of cooperation that you shall one day rest from all your afflictions. Proverbs 16:32 says, if we are slow to anger, it is better than a warrior that takes a whole city. There is more power in that ability to be slow to anger. I'm tested in that from time to time. I don't always fare well, but in Christ, we're to hold it in subjection. Psalms 37, 7 through 9. If we wait on the Lord patiently and not the way of the world, evil devices have no power on us. They have nothing on us. So, the last slide. What worker does Jesus see in and hope for in the body of Jesus Christ? You can look around and judge the body of Christ, but more importantly, look within. Judge yourself. What does Christ hope for in you? No matter what age, and as you look to life and all that it unfolds, you must look to the end of this life. Not a physical death, but a life to be judged. And knowing Christ, there is a way to enter in. And we find care, comfort, and each other. And our various houses that we have built. There is a strength within the body. But look within and make that preparation. Not because I say so. Because Christ has invited you as a child to know him more fully. To become more like him in this walk. In this life. And I thank you very much for your patience. 12 minutes over. Thank you.